Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. The message you are about to hear is brought to you by African Mission Tape Ministry of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Redemption Camp. God bless you as you listen in Jesus' name.
Nkiru munkuru ndiri mukuru 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 mukuru ndiri mukuru ndiri mukuru ndiri mukuru ndiri mukuru mukuru ndiri 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 Ikira makashikiro mokorundra mama mama makaru tendere mokorundra mama kashanda rekero mokorundere mokorundra irimunkurundere momomomo mokorundere mokorundra mama kashanda ikiro mokorundere mokoshunta haleluya ikiro mokorundra mama kachanda thank you Jesus hallelujah hallelujah Hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. 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 Glory be to your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him in silence. Thank you, Father. I heard the Lord say, I will yet rend the heavens. And bring you to a new beginning.
Amen.
Not as you think, but as I think, saith the Lord. I bring you to a new beginning of surpassing glory.
Amen.
Beyond your wildest imaginations.
Amen.
I will yet surprise you.
Amen.
I will yet prosper you.
Amen.
I will yet lift up your heads.
Amen.
And you will know that I'm the Holy One of Israel.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Glory be to your name. Father, you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be adored. You are worthy to be magnified. You are an awesome God. Thank you for your presence in our midst. Thank you for all you've done on this trip. Thank you for new beginnings. And Father, where your spirit is moving so mightily, I pray that you bless all these bottles of oil.
Amen.
Saturate each one with your anointing.
Amen.
Wherever each one is used, let yokes be destroyed.
Amen.
Let miracles happen.
Amen.
And all these your children, Father, I pray that you will so touch them.
Amen.
And when they return home, the whole world will know that they had been with Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for everything, Lord. Thank you for what you've already done. And thank you for what you will yet do today. Glory be to your name. This morning, speak to us again. Draw us close to yourself. Let's hear from you. And at the end of everything, take all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Two things quickly before we plow into the last bit of our talk. Since there may not be another occasion for me to say this, I want to say thank you to all those who have been shaking our hands and dropping envelopes and doing this and doing that. God, we bless you mightily.
Amen.
You will always have more than sufficient.
Amen.
Secondly, I want you to please, from now on, help me to pray for the Boy Scouts of Nigeria. I don't know why, but I've been appointed the life patron of the Boy Scouts of Nigeria. And if you know me, you will know I don't like that kind of thing, but it seems as if the Lord is saying, I have no option. I believe that there must be something God wants to do with the Boy Scouts of Nigeria. And I believe if God takes over the Boy Scout, because many of the people in the army today started off as Boy Scouts, it's most likely that God is trying to take over the army of tomorrow. So pray for the Boy Scouts of Nigeria and pray for the life patron. Amen. Hey, life patron. God have mercy. All right. Now, who is going to tell us where we started from? What are the... I want one fellow, only one fellow now, to tell us the 7 basic goals of a Christian. All 7, without looking at your note. Yes, sir. To make heaven, to see God, to serve God, never to backslide, to finish well. And he himself knew that he missed something somewhere. Yes, he's going to tell us the 7, at least. Some people have now spied their notebook. Yes, yes. So, that's the first one. From the beginning, yes. To make heaven, to see God, to serve God, to know Him, never to backslide, to finish well, and to be rewarded. That's good. That's good. Glory be to God. And there was something because of course our time is so short, we had to rush quite a lot of things. Some of us might think that to seek reward is wrong. It isn't. It's good to seek reward, divine reward. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was able to endure the cross because of the glory that was set before him. And you will notice that when David came face to face with Goliath, the first question he asked is, what will be done for the man who killed his fellow? And they told him, well, number one, you won't have to pay taxes. He said, you must be joking. They said, that's not all. Your entire family won't pay taxes. I said, you are kidding. They said, do you know Saul's beautiful daughter? I said, yeah, I've seen her once in it. She will become your wife. He said, let me go and get that Goliath. When the reward is sufficiently big, man will do anything. And I'm telling you, brethren, there's no reward greater than winning Christ. If that's the only reason why you have to be pure, it is enough. All right, so we know the seven basic goals. And then we said that we need to be very pure because something is not allowed in heaven. What is that something? Okay. And so the blood of Jesus cleanses from what? All right. And after we have been cleansed from all sins, what are we supposed to do to make it to heaven? Yes. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Yes. By the way, what do we mean by abstain from all appearance of evil? Before we continue, let me ask, have they rescheduled you at his tomb? Oh, they've rescheduled you for 12. Between... Well, it's okay. So which do you prefer, to go to the tomb or to have a comprehensive study? No, I think you need to go to the tomb. You need to go, you need to have that experience. Oh, that's okay. I'll be brief. Whatever I didn't tell you, the Holy Spirit will. It's a pity that our time is short, but then that's okay. All right. So let me jump then. You know that you must avoid every appearance of evil. You must avoid even clothes that are stained with sin. You must avoid jesting. You must watch your lips. All right? And for you, therefore, to be as pure as light, you need what? What did Isaiah say? To be undone, which means to be dismantled. I know you have been walking around for so long that you are not reading your notes. I wish I would be around till Tuesday, then I would have given you a test on Monday. Thank you very much. I wish I could. Anyway, then Moses said to God, show me thy glory. What was the answer of God? You want to die? And then I ask you too, do you want to die? And you said yes. Good. Die to what? Oh, no, just one person. Yes. Die to self. Yes. Loss of eyes, loss of the flesh, and pride of life. We didn't have time to discuss in details what we mean by the loss of the eye. I just assume that you know. I have a rough idea you know what the loss of the flesh is. And we talked a bit about the pride of life. In addition to that, you are to be dead to what again? Criticisms and praises, yes, and then to what? Retaliation, yes. Ambition and reputation. So, for you, therefore, to be as pure as light, you must be what? According to Paul. Before that, you must be crucified with Christ so that you live the rest of your life as what? As a living sacrifice. All right, but we don't want to die. Why is it that we don't want to die? Why is it that people are reluctant to die? That is so final, yes. And? You transfer. You transfer everything that has to do with you to somebody else. And we want to retain a little bit of control. All right. Now, I'm jumping over a few. And then we discuss the condition for divine partnership. What's condition number one? You must not be partners with unbelievers. Why not? You are righteous, they are not. One. You are light, they are darkness. Two. You belong to Christ, they belong to Belial. Yes. You are a believer, they are not. Yes. And then? You are the temple of God and they are what? They are idols. Every unbeliever is an idol. All right. And then, condition number two. You must come out from among unbelievers. And why? Because they are dead people. You must come out of the congregation of the dead. All right. And we should not seek the living among the dead. And our God is a God of the living and not God of the dead. What's the condition number three? You must be separate. Why should you be separate? There are certain blessings that God reserves for those who are separated unto him. Yes. There are certain problems that are also reserved for those who are not separated unto him. Yes. There are certain prayers that he will pray for only those who are peculiar to him. Now then, what is the condition number four? Touch not the unclean thing. Why? Only one person, so I can hear clearly. Yes. Yes. Why? Yes, ma. Exactly, because the devil will check you out to see if he has something in you, just like he checked Jesus out and had nothing in him. Yes, and also, why must we be pure? To be partners with him against the devil. Yes, ma. For you to be able to rule by decrees. All right. Okay. Yes. What else? Yes, ma. Deliverance is easier when we are pure. That's right. That's what we mean by you rule by decree. You just command. What is the only force that can destroy darkness? All right then. Let's hurry on quickly. How can you become pure? Yes, ma'am. Voluntarily, or God doing it for you? Now, all right, that's very good. And if God is going to do it for you, what method will he use? Before you answer fire, is that not something? Is that a proviso? Does he use fire on everything? I think you have all assumed that you are precious metals. All right. Glory be to God. And then, which one did you choose? Voluntary. I saw many of you pray like I've not seen you pray before yesterday. That was beautiful. When the word did not penetrate, that's when you beg people to pray. If it penetrates the way it should, you will see the kind of thing we saw yesterday morning. People look for a place, if it were possible, to go and hide and pray their way through. What was the meaning of pure anyway? Of one kind only. And then we talked about pure freedom. Who are those who are purely free? Those who are dead, or those who have lost the fear of death. Good. And then we talked about pure joy. Where can we find pure joy? In the presence of God. And then we talked about pure prosperity. How do we get pure prosperity? How? By serving God. Yes. Because the blessing of the Lord maketh it and added no sorrow. And then we talked about pure health. Exodus 15:26 says what? I'm the Lord that... That's the beginning of Exodus. All right. We've rushed through. I pray that the Almighty God will tell you what else you need to know there. Psalm 42, verse 7. Psalm 42, verse 7. While you are opening your Bibles, please remember, it's not the hearers of the word that will be justified, by the what? By the doers. By now, there should be changes in your life. There should be evidence that you've heard certain things and you are practicing them. Psalm 42, verse 7. Deep calls unto deep. That's where we'll stop. Deep calls unto deep. If you want to put that in another way, you can say shallows call to shallows. Empty barrels call to empty barrels. This morning we are believing God that He will take us as deep as we are able to take. Since God is light, pure light, His children must be light, and they must be pure light. Ezekiel 16, verse 44. Ezekiel 16 verse 44 says, as the mother, so is her daughter. That's another way of saying, like father, like son. Before we were born again, we used to crack a joke. We say, before you decide to marry your girlfriend, take a good look at her mother. Because sooner or later, that's how she's going to become. So if your girlfriend is looking beautiful and slim and portable, don't let that deceive you. Go and look at mama. So you will know what you are actually going to be tied down with for the rest of your life. As the mother is, so is her daughter, like father, like son. Now in John 9 verse 5, Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. But then in Matthew 5 verse 14, he turned to the disciples and said, ye are the light of the world. So you see again, like father, like son. And then when you go to James chapter 1 verse 17, James 1 verse 17, the Bible says, every good and perfect gift come down from the Father of lights. God is called the Father of what? Lights. So if you're a child of God, you must be a light. He's the Father of lights. But then he went on to say, in whom there's no variableness, and no shadow of turning. The Father of light is absolute pure light. There's no shadow in Him at all. And so He expects that we too, if we are truly His children, there must be no shadow in us. We must be pure light. I know there are people who will say, how can you expect a human being to become as pure as God? It's not any one of us who wrote the Bible. We're not the one who said, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. We're not the one who wrote, be ye holy for I am holy. And in any case, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, he said, we have been granted the grace to be partakers of his divine nature. We are to be what? Partakers of his divine nature. Whatever nature he has, we are allowed to partake. So, why do we need purity apart from all that we've already learned? One of the major reasons why we need purity is so that God can dwell in us and flow through us. He wants to dwell in us and flow through us. In John 7, from verse 37 to 39, John 7, 37 to 39, Jesus Christ said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And if you drink from the water I will give you, it will become a well in you, and out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. There is a tape at the headquarters which you should all try and get. It's one of the first sermons of this year, and it's entitled, Let the Rivers Flow. I believe that's the title I gave it. I don't know what the tape people gave it, but just tell them one of the sermons Daddy preached early this year, and it has to do with rivers flowing. They will locate it for you, because at times I give it one title, another time you find that they gave it an entirely different title. God wants to flow through you. And like I mentioned, I think at the Holy Ghost service, when God is dwelling in you, everything that comes out of you is anointed. And believe me honestly, anointing makes the difference. Just like we said, if an anointed hand touches a piece of wood, that wood is no longer ordinary. It is different from that day onward. I remember years ago, my daughter was seriously sick. And I wasn't in. And when things looked desperate, she said to her mother, Mommy, will you let me sleep where Daddy sleeps? Just let me lie down where he normally lies down. And the mother said, that's true. Come over. And that was the end of the sickness. Let me lie down where he lays. I know there must be something left on that spot. The Almighty God wants to flow out of you. You know, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you begin to hear of someone like Paul, whose handkerchiefs are healing the sick and casting out devils, it is because those handkerchiefs had come in contact with his body. Remember, Paul tells us that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are the earthen vessel. We are made from clay. But when the Almighty God, the awesome one, the all-sufficient one, comes to dwell in us, then there's a treasure in us. And that treasure wants to flow out. When that treasure is flowing out, we call it anointing. That's what we call anointing. Now, anointing, like I mentioned, I think yesterday too, is, whether yesterday or the day before, is like what we will call heaven's electricity. And anybody who has done a little bit of physics will tell you that When electricity flows through a conductor, how much of current can flow through the conductor is determined by the purity of the conductor. That's why I'm a bit sad that we don't have too much time. That alone should take a whole talk with blackboard and chalk and everything. Because there's a simple law of electricity that says current is inversely proportional to resistance. Now that sounds big to those who are not scientists. We would have broken it down to pieces. All he's saying is this: the purer the conductor, the more the flow of the anointing. That's why you see a lot of ministers who go about shouting that they are anointed, but nothing is happening. They can sweat, they can run up and down the stage, they can jump up and down, and nothing will happen because they are impure. The conductor is not allowing the current to flow. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9, Hebrews 1 verse 9, the Bible says, because thou lovest righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. In other words, because you are pure, that's why the anointing will flow freely. Now, what are the impurities that can hinder the flow of anointing in your life? Strangely, many of them we have already mentioned, but I will show you just a bit more. Number one, anger. When a man is powerful, when a man is highly anointed, if he's also a man who is given to anger, we have a dangerous man. In fact, we have a madman on the loose. I'm sure you know that madmen are anointed. Ah, yes, they have the devil's anointing. Anointing, you know, there is positive electricity and negative one. Oh, there is anointing that comes from God, there is anointing that comes from the devil. We need to know that one. And when anointing is flowing, it gives you supernatural powers. When one mad, if a mad lady, tiny lady, normally very weak, if a lady who is normally very weak becomes mad, you will find that 3-4 men will not be able to hold her. Why? Anointing gives supernatural strength. If you don't believe me, ask the madman of Gadara. They bind him with iron chains, he will just tear the thing off. Why? Devil's anointing. So if a man, particularly now a man of God, has this problem with anger, then there's a danger. If you look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23 to 24, 2 Kings 2, 23 to 24, you find that Elisha was just going by and some little children came and began to mock him. Bald-headed man, go away from here. Bald-headed man, go away from... And he turned and cursed them in the name of the Lord. Before he realized what he's done, 42 of the children lay dead. There is tremendous power when you are anointed. That is why you find that people who are truly anointed are always very gentle. They're gentle not because they are fools, but because they themselves are afraid of the power they are carrying. So when you see a man of God who is always angry, you can be sure the anointing in him is not much. If you have a lot of, the more the anointing, the gentler you become, or else you will just destroy the world. I mean, of course, there are people, there are men of God who will call anger by a different name. They call it righteous indignation. And we are angry for God's sake. If you look at the story of Elisha very well, he has just received power. Double portion of anointing of Elijah. Came across Jordan, broke the curse on Jericho, and then killed 42 children. The very following chapter, three kings came to see him with their armies. And two of the kings were idol worshippers, and he flew into his anger again. Immediately, God withdrew. Because if God did not withdraw, this man could wipe out three armies. All he had to say is die. Believe me honestly, they'd be dead. You need to understand this because I know you are not leaving this ground unanointed. That's why we need to do something. But that's why Elisha had to call on a minstrel and say, please come on, sing. Let's invite God back. Because, as it were, the fuse had blown. Otherwise, there will be serious trouble. So when you see some of us keep on saying, it's okay, when you offend, it is because we know that if we say it is not okay, you may be dead. And so those of you who are prone to anger, you just have to get rid of that impurity for the anointing to be able to flow. And I'm sure, I think I've mentioned, let's go on, there's no time. Anyway, and then you need a cool-headed person to dispense justice. Because of the awesomeness of the power embedded in someone who is anointed. God will use those who are anointed to dispense justice. But this fellow will have to know which is justice and which is vengeance. Because there's a difference between the two. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20 to 27, 2 Kings 5, 20 to 27, when Elisha pronounced judgment on Gehazi, that was justice. God said, freely you are given, freely give. Elisha had just brought healing to Naaman. Naaman brought money and clothes. God has spoken to Elisha, don't degrade me. Don't take his money. So Elisha said, I'm not taking the money. Gehazi said, if my master will not take it, I'll take it. If he wants to die a poor prophet, let him die a poor prophet. Me, I want vineyards and olivyards and men servants. And God said, let him have it. At least if you are a leper, you live in the bush. And you can have plenty of olivyards and all kinds of yards. That was justice. In Acts 5, verse 1 to 11, Acts 5, verse 1 to 11, we find that Ananias and Sapphira killed. Not because they held back half of the money of their land, because the land is their own. Peter said so. Why the thing remaineth? Is it not thy own? It was not that they sold the land and brought half of the money that was the trouble. It was that they lied and said half of the money is the total money. Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? That was the problem. Which is a big lesson to those of you who pay 5% and call it tithe. If you don't want to pay tithe, don't pay tithe at all. You will have to deal with divorce. That's your own headache. But if you want to pay tithe, you better pay it all. You better do what? Some of us pay tithe in naira, we don't pay it in dollars. Because dollar is hard currency. Who is your God? Money, hard currency, or the living God? In any case, so In that case, we find justice being dispensed to Ananias and Sapphira. But when you look at Luke chapter 9, verse 51 to 56, Luke 9, 51 to 56, Jesus was going to Jerusalem. Then he told the disciples to go ahead and ask some villagers if he could stay in their village. The Samaritan said, no, you Jews have nothing to do with us, so we are not going to allow you to stay in our village. When John heard, what did he say? Let's call fire down from heaven like Elijah did and burn these Samaritans off. Now that's vengeance. That's not justice. They say it's our own village. And we are not allowing you to stay here because in any case, you have nothing to do with us. So we have two groups of people. Ananias and Sapphira, his case had to do with property. These Samaritans, the case had to do with property. But the Samaritans were saying, it is our village. You can't stay here because you have nothing to do with us. And Jesus Christ said, no, we can't burn them for that. And Ananias and Sapphira came and lied. And they got justice. Now, it takes somebody who's cool-headed to be able to distinguish between the two. If you are soon angry, you will kill everybody. And that's why anger must go out of your life permanently if you want anointing to flow freely. Another impurity that can hinder the flow of anointing in your life is the loss of the eye. When you see, I've just told you, an anointed man is a powerful man. And there is an English proverb that says, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts how? Absolutely. When you study the story of David in 2 Samuel chapter 11, you know the story between David and Uriah. You see a powerful man in action. He was walking on his wall, saw a beautiful woman bathing, and because he was king, he was a ruler who can rule by decrees, said, go and bring her. And they brought her. And the girl was flattered that the king sent for her. So you know the rest of the story. The lady became pregnant, sent to the king, and the king said, all right, let the husband come from the war front. The husband came. The king said, eat, drink, go and stay with your wife. The poor boy was too loyal for his own good. My generals are in the field. The Ark of the Covenant is in a tent. How can I go and lie with my wife? No, I won't do such a thing. So he stayed at the gate with the servants. The second day, the king made him drunk. He refused to go. He was too loyal for drunkenness to push him out of the way. So the king wrote a letter and sent it by his hand. He gave him his death warrant. Give this to Joab. Joab read the letter and read, put Uriah where the battle is hottest and withdraw from him. And that's power, brother. And Joab dared not disobey. So Uriah died. When power is in your hand, if you have not loss of the eye, you may kill to get what you want. Because once you are anointed, when you speak, it's done. So you look at a beautiful lady and this should have been my wife. Here is the husband. He's in the choir. And maybe your wife has not been cooking too well, too. And you know that the only way you could marry that lady is if two people die. I'm sure you are beginning to understand the need for purity. If God knows that you have not conquered the loss of the eye, it's going to withdraw the flow of the anointing, or else you will destroy a lot of people.
And then the loss of the flesh. God needs men and women who cannot be bought. Men and women that you can buy. These are the few people God is looking for to release his anointing through them. Who are the people who cannot be bought? They are the people who just don't care what clothes they wear, which house they sleep in, what car they ride. It just does not matter to them. When you get to that stage, anointing will flow. Because if somebody says he wants to buy me, for example, and I'm saying this with all humility, if he promises me $100 million, I say, what for? If I get the 100 million, it will be used for the work of God. Now, if you are now making a proposal that will take me away from that God, perish with your money. But there are people, even when they have 1,000 agbada, they want more. They want golden shoes, if it were possible to get one. And if they are wearing gold, if they are wearing a shoe that is made of gold and silver, the day they find someone who is wearing one that is made with gold and diamonds, they are no longer satisfied. And so they will prophesy to get money. And you know what I mean by prophesy. Thus saith the Lord. Sister, if you will give me 1 million naira today, by the end of the month, you will have 100 million. You may not believe this, but I know a prophet in Nigeria. Oh, God have mercy. Who flew a plane to Abuja and went to conduct a crusade in Mina. And he raked millions from those poor people. I mean, they were using cartons to carry money to the aeroplane on a daily basis, because he told them, and of course it's the fault of those stupid ones, that if you give me 1 million before the end of the month, so many millions will come in. So they all, I mean, it was like money changer. Whether he now used, I don't know what kind of anointing he used to blindfold those people. But he raked their money and left. Of course, nothing happened. That's not the way God operates. It is true that if you sow, you will reap. But is it the day that you sow that the reaping will come? The seed will have to die first and then germinate and then grow before it will produce the fruit. God is looking for people like Peter, who could say, like he said in Acts chapter 8, verse 18 to 20. Acts 8, verse 18 to 20. Who said to the sorcerer, your money perish with you. God is looking for men and women who will be able to say, silver and gold have I not, but glory be to God, I have something. I have the anointing of the Almighty God. So if you are still bothered by the loss of the flesh, if you still want to be beat brother so-and-so in dressing, beat sister so-and-so in dressing, beat this fellow, beat that fellow, the anointing will be restricted. Of course, another impurity that could hinder the flow of anointing is pride. Pride, of course, is a well-known resistance to the anointing. Because the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 6, James 4, verse 6, he said, God resists the proud. God is constantly resisting those who are proud. Why? Because Isaiah 42, verse 8, Isaiah 42, verse 8 says, he will not share his glory with any other. He will not. So when the anointing begins to flow in your life and miracles begin to happen, you need to watch out. that even in giving your testimonies, you do not share the glory with God. Oh, they brought the brothers and sisters who were sick to me. And I laid hands on them and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And they were all healed. So who healed them? You now. Because you prayed and prayed and prayed. You've forgotten that if God refuses to answer prayers, your prayer will be nothing. You see, God is number one. And he's not going to compromise that one. You need to get that one clear. He's number one, and number one, he will remain. The moment you try to make him number two, you're in trouble. I mean, when you study 1 Samuel 15, you will see the story of a king who put his people as number one and God as number two. And you know what happened? The government was taken away from him. I mean, Samuel has just told King Saul, you have offended God. God is angry with you. He has decided that he doesn't want you anymore. Saul said, okay, all right, I agree, I've sinned. But worship God with me. Samuel, I can't worship God with someone that God has rejected. You know, many a times, they come to us and they say, oh, we know this brother is out of touch, is out of line. But you know, let's show love. Let's fellowship with them. How can I fellowship with someone who is in the congregation of the dead? It's not pride. I mean, again and again, I've heard people say to me, we expect you to fellowship with these people. Draw them close. Our lifestyles are different. With all humility, I know where I'm going. I don't know about you. Where are you going? If I'm going to heaven, and I know this fellow is not yet determined to go, where is the relationship? Where is the fellowship? I can forgive. I have nothing against you. I'm just saying, we can. If you call yourself a Christian, then we are brothers. We can be brothers without being friends. Is that correct? Because it's only birds of the same feather that can flock together. Someone said, I can't worship with you. God has already turned his back on you. He said, listen, Samuel, don't disgrace me before my people. If they see you going like that, they will know something is wrong. Cover me. At a time when he should be on his knees crying to God and say, God, have mercy, he was saying, no, don't let me lose face. Samuel said, no. So Samuel turned and he grabbed his robe. He grabbed it so violently, he tore it. Samuel turned and said, you tore my clothes. You know, in the past, among the Yorubas, when the king is coming, you get out of his way. You know why? Because the dress he's wearing is anointed by the devil. And if he touches you in the wrong way, you die with leprosy or smallpox. That's the devil's anointing. Now, a man of God is not a man you just treat anyhow. He said, you tore my dress. Then your kingdom is torn. And the moment he said it, that very day was the day Samuel and his children died. They were still living for some days after that. But from the moment Samuel said it, Saul and his children, the moment Samuel said, your kingdom is torn, what he's saying is that not only will your kingdom be taken away from you, there'll be nobody to succeed you. That's why all the children died the same day.
God will not allow you to put anyone before him. That's why once in a while I offend my congregation. I have to say some things to them that they don't like to hear. But the number one fellow I must please is Daddy up there. Once Daddy says you are okay, you can say whatever you like. It doesn't bother me. If he says you are not okay and the whole world say you are okay, you can be sure you are not okay. And then that brings us to this. How many more minutes do I have? How many more minutes do I have? Five. No. Let's ask the man in charge. How many more minutes? How many more minutes? All right. I'm moving as fast as I could, but it's just so serious that some things won't have to jump. Let's talk about the dangers of just a little impurity. Because we are talking of being as pure as light. Just a little impurity. Because there are some of us who will say, I am okay in every aspect. The only problem I have is just a little bit of impatience. You know, anger once in a long while. A bottle of wine, you know, for my stomach's sake. You know, little impure, nothing much. But let me give you an illustration that I've always given. Suppose there is a big container, a big tanker of pure water, absolutely pure water. And then somebody took just a teaspoonful of feces and dropped it inside. How many of you will still drink that water? Just one tiny bit of feces dropped into a whole tanker of pure water will render that water completely impure. That's why I told you yesterday, pure means of one kind only. No contamination. When you go through the scriptures, you'll be amazed at the havoc a little impurity can cause. Take the example of Noah. As we read Genesis chapter 9, verse 20 to 27. Genesis 9, 20 to 27. Noah, that great man of God, the only man who survived the flood with his family, had only one little problem. He drinks a little cup of wine once in a while. Just a little bit of alcohol once in a while. Not much. But one day, thank you very much. When I finish now, I finish. Somebody wants me to continue after dinner. He doesn't know that I'm traveling tomorrow morning. You will be doing that one. Thank you, sir. What I was saying is this. Noah used to drink just a cup of wine once in a while. But one day, he got drunk. Anyone who drinks a cup once in a while can be drunk. If you don't drink at all, you can never be drunk. Do you agree with that? And when he woke out of his drunkenness, he pronounced a curse on one of his children. And I'm telling you, for generations, we black people, we had labored under that curse. Thank God for Jesus Christ, that at long last, we are redeemed from the curse of the law. Those of us who are born again. Each time you study the black race, you will find that we have all the resources,
We have the men. We have the best, some of the best brains in the world. But we keep being servants. The white will come, take our skin, cow skin and so on, take it back home, change it to good leather, make shoes, and come and sell it to us at an exorbitant price. When the money comes, our leaders will take the money, go and hide it where? In the white man's country. To further develop those who are already developed. And we remain servants because Noah said so. Mr. Kenan, you will serve. Thank God that things are changing. Now, glory be to God, I love the black and the white because once we are born again, we are of the same blood. We belong to the same Jesus Christ. So let them go on developing. I'm developing along with them. But it tells you what a little cup of alcohol once in a while can do. Because people ask us, when you take Holy Communion, why don't you take the Holy Communion wine? Because it has a little bit of alcohol in it. That's why we look for one that has no alcohol at all. Just a little can become a lot. And when you read Genesis 19, verse 30 to 36, you see something even more terrible. You know Lot very well. Genesis 19, verse 30 to 36. Lot was delivered from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. And then he went to hide in a hill, on a hill, in a cave. And he had two daughters. And the two daughters said, well, there's no man here to marry us. How are we going to get children? They said, let us make our father drunk. And then when he's drunk, he won't know the difference between us and our mother. The two daughters of Lot gave birth to children by their father, by making him drunk. If you don't drink at all, you can never become drunk. That's the point I'm trying to make. As for Samson, I don't need to waste time on that. You know the story. Samson had one little problem. He loved strange women. And that mighty man of God lost not only his link with God, but he lost his eyes, his vision, because of that little problem. Now let me quickly rush to the greatest joy of purity. Don't worry, I'm about to close now. To me, there are several joys of being pure and anointing will flow, etc., etc. But I think, to me, probably the greatest joy of purity is communion with the divine. Ability to communicate with the awesome one. And that's where I took the text from, Psalm 42, verse 7. Deep calleth unto deep, or to the deep. The pure communes with the pure. You will remember that at the age of innocence, before sin came, God and man were talking as partners. If you read Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, Genesis 2, verse 19. God created everything and then called Adam to name them. Adam, what do you want us to call this? Adam said, call it a lion, and it is lion. What about this one? We call it ego. Okay, ego. The Almighty God wants to bring us back to that kind of relationship. When God could talk to you as a father to his son. When you could call him daddy and he could call you son. Maybe you'll hear more about this later, but I mean, probably in one of the services, I don't know. If somebody comes to me today and he says, thus says the Lord, tell my servant, Adeboye this, I say, shut up. That message is not for me. He calls me son.
not servant. There's a difference between the two. I am his son. Are you his child? Can you boldly call him daddy? I hope so. God wants to be able to show you something. You know, talk to you like father talking to his child and say, what seest thou? Like he talked to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Jeremiah 1, 11 and 12. What seest thou? Jeremiah said, I saw this, I saw this. And daddy said, thou seest well. That's very sweet to me. God wants to talk to you like he talked to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37. My son, can these bones live? And then Ezekiel answered and said, God, thou knowest. In other words, daddy, this is beyond me. The Bible tells us that God will not do a thing except he has first of all told the prophets. I'm talking of genuine prophets. Glory be to God. They say you can't do the tomb today, that we will do it on Monday. All right, so they are asking me not to rush too much. It's okay, I won't rush too much. I'm almost concluding anyway. It will give us an opportunity to do something else that I really, really want to do. I really, really want to pray for you and transfer a little bit of anointing. Thank you, Daddy. If you appear, God will love to talk to you. You know, God loves to share. Every father loves to share with children that are close to him. There are things that you discuss with children. You parents, you know that you may claim that you love all your children equally, but in truth, you have a favorite among them. Am I lying? There's always one. There's always one who can sneak in while others are not looking. And say, Daddy, I see some people going that direction. What's happening? Don't tell anyone yet. I want to build a new house. Where will my room be? Some of you know what I'm talking about. That God wants that kind of relationship with you. I mean, for example, nobody has ever heard this from me. But years ago, when Nigeria was preparing for election during the time of Abiola and Tofa, and Christians were praying, Lord, give us a Christian president. God, give us. And all of a sudden, we found two Muslims contesting. I went to Daddy. Daddy, what's this? We've prayed so much. He said, my son, let's have two Muslims. Because there'll be no election anyway. If they will go to the poll, but you know, it's not going to make any difference. Let's have two Muslims now. Because a time is coming when we are going to have two Christians. Thank you, Daddy. And I remember very well, there might be one or two pastors here who was there, I think on May 30 of that year, at Afaba Aliwa Square, we were having the rally of the Pentecostals. And by that time, people were already struggling who to vote for Amanda. I called the pastors. I said, why are you struggling? I was then their national president. Why are you struggling? Has God told you that there will be an election? And if there's going to be an election, which of the two? Isn't it beautiful to know what God is going to do? It's a joy in knowing because he gives you peace. While others are killing themselves, he'll just be smiling.
Another beauty of it is that many a times daddy will tell you and say, for your ears only. So you'll be smiling and everybody will be talking their own thing and you will just be smiling. In Genesis 18, from verse 17 to 32, Genesis 18, verse 17 to 32, the Lord said, can I go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah without discussing it with Abraham first? How I wish today that we will reach that level of purity when God will discuss the future of our families with us. And say, I want to do so much. I want to do this to this boy, this girl. But the mother is my friend. Let me discuss it with her first. The father is pure. I don't think I will allow this to happen without sharing with the father first. It makes a lot of difference. I remember the day before the election. One KBC asked me to come and pray for one of the candidates. And I went and prayed. And I told the candidate, I'm not praying for you to win because daddy had told me you are the next president. I'm just praying for you so that when you get there, you will not disappoint God. After the prayer, I said, let me be the first to congratulate you. Now, thank God I'm not a politician. I told you my party is not registered. Party is everybody's party. EPP. Every people's party. I came back home, I said, darling, this is what happened. He says, you told him? I said, yes. I said, I have no problem because I am sure. Daddy told me way back in December. You know, it makes all the difference. Makes all the difference. Makes all the difference. Communion with him. And even deeper than that is your own personal future. God would love to discuss it with you, you know. Including your departure from this world. In Philippians 1, 21 to 25, Philippians 1, 21 to 25, Paul said, I find myself in a strait between two things. Do I depart and be with the Lord, which is much better? Or do I stay here, which is more needful for you? He said, I will stay because of you for a while. Now, how can you say you are in a strait between two if you don't have an option? God spoke to him and said, son, do you want to come home now? And he said, Lord, let's discuss it. You know that as for me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. But these people, I think they need me. And daddy said, if you want to stay a little longer, I think I'll stay a little longer for their sake. Finally, when he felt that, all right, I have enough people to hand them over to, there is Timothy, there is Titus, there is this fellow. He said, daddy, I think I can come home now. And before he left, God had already shown him the crown waiting for him. Wouldn't that be glorious for you to know when you are going to die? There was the case of a man who I love so much. He was a great writer. And he had written 39 books. He was about to begin the 40th one when God spoke to him and said, don't start that one. And he said, why not? He said, because you won't finish it. Oh, thank you, daddy. You mean at long last graduation is coming? You know, when you are this close to the Almighty God, death is nothing to fear. I mean, you mean my day of graduation is near? The Lord said, well, let's discuss it.
And the Lord told him how many years to go. He said, Lord, let's be specific. Tell me the exact date so I can prepare properly. And God told him that if it's okay by you, you can come on this Sunday. So he said, good. So he sent for all his children that are abroad. The children gathered. And they ate, they drank, and Papa, he prayed for them, blessed them. And then around when it was some minutes to 12 midnight, he said, I think it was a Saturday night. I think I will retire now. So he went in, lay down on his bed, and went home at the dot of 12 midnight. But then the children it just occurred to them, this man asked all of us to come. He hasn't even told us why. Before he falls asleep, let's go and ask him, Papa, why? So they entered and said, Papa, Papa, Papa. Papa was gone. Won't you prefer that one to a road accident? Answer me. Won't it be beautiful to be able to know I am going on such and such a day? I've also told those of you in the redeemed protection of God, I will go if the Lord tarries. As soon as we decide on the date, which will be Sunday by the way, that's my personal choice. I will go to church on Sunday. We will sing, we will dance. I will preach a beautiful sermon. I will get back home. I will eat pounded yam. Then I go. That's the way it's going to be. So don't be surprised if you hear that it happened. That don't you ever say the witches killed him. I mean, that's rubbish. I will go when I am ready. And I can assure you I'm not ready yet. Because there is still a lot to be done. When you read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, 2 Peter 1, 13 and 14, Peter said, the reason I'm reminding you of all these things is because I'm going home soon. Because the Lord has already told me. It's good to be pure so that anointing can flow. It's good to be pure so that you can tell the devil to sit down and he will sit down. It's good to be pure so that all kinds of miracles, signs and wonders can happen through you. It's good to be pure so that you can rule by decrees. But I think it is very, very essential to be pure, if only to be able to commune with the Almighty God, to be able to have fellowship with Him. That's why I'm going to give you some minutes to pray before I pray for you. I want you to talk to the Almighty God and say, any impurity left in my life, no matter how tiny, remove it, Lord. I really want to live here as pure as light. Shall we go and pray?